All right, very well. We're starting a little late, but good seeing everybody here as well as on Zoom. And with that, let me call the meeting to order at approximately 1740. And with that, guys, welcome. As always, we begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. If you will, we've got a special guest with us, Ms. Janet Forrest, and she's going to be talking a little bit about the chapel, and that's something we kicked off a little bit. I want to get a couple of technical things done. I got to speak up a little bit. Roger that. All right. So with that said, first let's do the minutes to the board meeting from 27 April. Those did go out. I think, did I make the correction or one of the corrections or the corrections that I made on the minutes? You didn't get them. Did I send the minutes?
No.
No.
I did not send the minutes. No. Golly, Ned. All right. We will approve both the 27 and the 25 May minutes. I apologize, guys. My fault. I thought I had sent those out. And I did not. My fault.
The revised ones? No, because I don't think you did, because I made the comments. I don't know if anybody else made any comments, but I did not see a return from my comments since we had CBOC last week.
Right. So I think I've revised them, and I will resend, and we'll approve those at the June board meeting. With that said, I am now going to go ahead and turn it over to you, Janet. This is not considered part of the public comment period, but this is a special presentation to us from her about the chapel. All yours.
Thank you very much. I put a packet together for everybody. I think almost everybody knows me here, but I will make a quick introduction. I am Janet Forrest. I am currently your office manager up front. I was raised here in Delaware. I'm an 89 graduate from Dover High School. I have four children, two older children that are nearing 30s, and I am adopting two younger children, one six, one a year and a half. I came to First State as a sub and have quickly grown into my position, and I love it here. And one of the first things when I came here was I got a tour. Officer Hibbert gave it to me, and he took me into the chapel, and I love history. I love old buildings, so I immediately fell in love. And then as you work here and you get to be on campus and see all the beautiful things, you just can't help but fall in love. And then of course everything we do for our cadets. So fortunately, this past fall I got to do the paranormal study, which allowed me to be on campus at different times, and that was an experience in itself. And then Kristen started working with us, and ooh, we just bounce things off of each other, and we really drive each other. So working with her and a few other staff members, we've got to talking. So I've put this packet together for you because, one, there's a lot of information in there. I've spent a lot of months on it. There's a lot of history. There's even a photo gallery in the back. But basically, if you start with the front, De Ruyter Hall, it's Father De Ruyter, is where we came up with the name. There's our proposal in front, and what we would like to do is to be allowed to officially put a committee together to raise funds, create a foundation and raise funds that will refurbish the chapel. Our hopes is to make it a multi-purpose, multi-use building. I have no delusions of grandeur. There will be no restoring the bell tower and, you know, bringing it back to its magnificent glory, because it just doesn't make sense. But hopefully we would like to make it a very viable building, one that can be used for many purposes. The cadets could benefit from it. The community could benefit from it. You know, sanctioned events here for FSMA, community events, to be able to rent it out to the community and use it for that and generate some income. So that's the synopsis of our project. There's a little blurb in the front about Father De Ruyter. I know we use Drexel and Morrell, and those names are very significant, but as far as this campus goes, none of it would have happened if it wasn't for Father De Ruyter's idea. So there's a little blurb in there about him. Unfortunately, a month after moving into this campus with a few students from the orphanage, he died in his 40s. So he did not get to fulfill very much of this campus that was his dream. Again, there's a lot of information in here, so I'm just kind of going over what's in here. There's a small list of those who have committed themselves to the committee, who really want to be a part of it and follow it all the way through. Certainly, we would like a school board member who would be interested in being a part of this with us. Behind that, you'll see the Leo Club, which is obviously something they want to be a part of, and that's, you know, kind of what the Leo Club is there to do. So, again, another chance for our cadets to benefit from this project. And then Skip Carroll, who's a long life resident here, who's also head of the Historic Society, unfortunately was under the weather, so he didn't give me an official letter, but he did send over an email, and I did kind of attach that. And finally, I have been working with Jay Cooperson. Mr. Cooperson was the architect when PCA was looking to do their big project 13 years ago. That is in there further back. The reason why I included it for you to see was to let you know 13 years ago, when it was $2+ million, they were going to do huge. They were going to put the bell tower back on. They wanted lifts and bathrooms, and I mean, it was going to be quite a building. Obviously, it just doesn't make sense to be that kind of building for us. But I wanted to let you know that where their numbers came from, how they got to it. Now, Mr. Cooperson he's been quite a wonderful man. He has provided so much information to me and so much learning, and constantly reminded me not to get the carriage before the horse, because the wheels in my brain just spin and I kind of got to, you know, get them back under control. So, there's a little blurb about him. There's no charge at this point. Mr. Cooperson would even come and reevaluate the building for us at no additional charge. He's very good at this, and he sits on many historical society boards and all. He's willing to walk us hand in hand through this process. So we can get all the way up to that point and even get an understanding of what kind of fundraising we would need after he's able to come in and listen to our ideas of what we hope to get from the building and do with it before we even have to talk money. So, you know, right now there's no loss to anyone other than time. So I've enjoyed working with him. When you get into the other chapters, obviously there's a huge history of our campus. It goes all the way back from the start. I reached out to the Josephites in Baltimore and their archives, and they provided a lot of this for us.
Wow. Cool.
It is amazing to read. It talks about how they originally wanted to do this in Virginia and that didn't work out, and you know, how Father De Ruyter ended up with 400 acres and Mrs. Morrell and where the money came from. It to me is an amazing read. It just draws me in, and I'm enamored with Father De Ruyter. So I just think he's a pretty amazing gentleman for his time. So
Hey, Jan, one quick question. As I was looking at the article, there's a picture, obviously, of the gate. Is there anything to be done with the gate out front? Because it's obviously tied to, like, an entrance to the church.
The stone gate? You're talking about the stone gate?
The stone gate, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is there anything to be done to that as well as the building, or did you thought?
I hadn't figured that yet. We have talked about that. Major and Kristen and Dr. Johnson and I have constantly gone back and forth around this. We've had several Zoom meetings and things. The biggest concern right now is, obviously, it's tough because COVID has made things so much more expensive. So we're aware of that. We're also aware that even on a basic scale, we're looking at 2 to 4 million, depending on the fluctuation of construction material and things like that. I did not include it in here. I, you know, held a few things back in my back pocket, but I do have some companies who are willing to volunteer their services and their time if we're allowed to move forward and when we get to that stage. So,
all right, a couple of questions.
Sure.
So fill me in a little bit more about the concept of the renovation. In the sense of what do you envision getting done, and would Cooperson and Associates, Mr. Cooperson, he is willing to come down and actually put a price tag?
Yes.
Or he's willing to say, yeah, that's broken, that's broken, that's broken, and that's broken?
No, no. What? Part of what he does, he will put a price tag. He will sit with us and talk about our vision of the building.
Okay.
And he will, the same breakdown that's back in the back for PC, that was done for PCA, he will do for us. And at that point, it requires no charge for all of us.
All right. Then tell me a little bit more about the vision and where you think.
The group and I have talked about this, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, the stained glass is beautiful, but it isn't energy efficient. There's just so much about it, and so probably the lower level would have to be pulled and more efficient windows put in. We would hope to save the top. The roof needs obvious repair. Some of it would depend on what's required to be ADA compliant.
Sure.
Also, so we'd hope to bring it up. So it's basically, I still want a multi-purpose room. Not necessarily, I mean, you're going to know it's a church because it's designed as a church, but
sure.
I don't necessarily want some of that glass. I'd like to save and just have it as pulled out and decorated to show the history, because we would hope that when, as renting it out, it's this beautiful hall. But, you know, when Clayton does its railroad days, you know, it should be opened up for people to see the history of it, and see the building and be able to pull things out and show that these were things that were in here or on the campus and things like that. But as far as massive renovations, it's more about preserving it and keeping it from deteriorating and make it more user-friendly than what it is now.
Okay.
We haven't made anything set in stone as far as, you know, I'm not looking to gut and, you know, we want to preserve the architecture. We want
sure.
to kind of take it back to the original. PCA put in that drop ceiling type ceiling that's in there right now. We hope to take it back to the rafters. Obviously, heating and HVAC would have to be updated. I mean, we know those are the costly things there. The roof is leaking.
Can you... So tell me again, so we've talked a little bit about renovation. What do you envision the school and or the chapel being used for?
I would like to see it used for overflow space, events.
Educational purposes first?
Absolutely, educational
okay.
purposes. I think there are
classroom space. Okay.
Overflow space or event, you know,
club
classroom
space.
Event. You know, we have a drama class. Why couldn't they be doing their drama in there opposed to a smaller classroom? I don't know the numbers to it. I mean, believe it or not, it holds a lot of people.
Right.
Surprised by the amount of people allowed in there.
Is there a basement in there?
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
So from a classroom standpoint, you'd be saying it's a basement of the classroom. Although
no.
drama could use the piece, but you have pews in there, isn't sure.
There are no pews in there.
You're going to remove them?
They're already gone. They've been gone. Part of the article for... PCA talks about all of that stuff. When the church was decommissioned, none of that stuff is in there. There's some marble in the basement. There are the marble
statuettes,
altars,
furniture.
Well, the altars are still on each side of the walls.
Okay.
There are some statuettes. We have reached out to the local church, and they don't really care about any of it that's in there. So in speaking with Mr. Cooperson, he said, you know, that could be beneficial to us for raising funds. There is a high price for some of that, including the stained glass. So the hopes would be to save the most significant pieces of stained glass as showpieces, and then using the rest to help fund.
Tell me about some of the other organizations or some of the other folks that have shown interest.
Obviously the Historic Society in Clayton. I have briefly spoken to the town of Clayton, but they wouldn't elaborate more until I had approval. Historic Society in Smyrna. As far as contractors, there have been a lot in the community in Clayton because obviously this has been attempted before, so there are people who have been here all their entire lives who would like to see it happen. But as far as businesses, I've reached out to, quite honestly, I've reached out to Shoreline Electrical. I've talked to Eddie Hitch, and he was having a day today, so he didn't get me his letter. But they obviously thought he thought it was a great idea, and they do a lot for the community.
Yep.
So Mike Biddle, who's a local contractor, people like that.
And okay.
Then, we've had a couple people who have asked us, well, would it be rentable for, you know, to rent as a wedding or a small event? And ideally, yes. I mean, obviously, things would have to be worked out as to who's going to manage that and make sure it's unlocked and prepared and things like that. But it's still, I mean, we do that to our cafeteria mm-hmm. now. Why, if a church rents our cafeteria, why wouldn't they want to rent
right.
a church?
Who would be on the initial board? Describe a little bit the interaction between this board and the chapel board, or the,
well, right now the
DeRuiter Hall.
DeRuiter Hall would be the committee right now, which is myself, Kristen, Major McCombs has been huge, and Dr. Johnson. And then we would hope a board member who might be interested to be a part of it also.
Anybody from outside of the school population or staff or teachers?
I've had requests. I haven't opened that up yet because of this is my project. I'm not ready for somebody to come in and want to jump right in. I'm like, let me get approval of how we could do this, and then obviously, someone from outside would be welcomed. I would like my whole committee to agree to it because they have put the time in with me finding all this history and doing all of this. So it's not for just me to decide.
Okay. All right. Questions from everybody, anybody in the room as to sort of next steps? Reggie, looks like you're ready to go.
Yeah, initial thoughts that come to my mind are what commitments we are making then with that property for the future. Are we binding ourselves to something? Is it a historical property?
So that doesn't technically mean anything in the state of Delaware. I mean, you can be on the historicals and after so many years, and it's on private property now. So
we were once, everything inside the ring road was once on the Federal Historical Registry. That expired in
17.
Yeah, in 17. So none of our structures are beholden to any historical requirements, any zoning issues, right. any architectural requirements, yada, yada, yada.
There's some benefit to being on it. There's some detractors. And you could get put back on if you wanted.
Yes.
But like I said, there is some benefit to it. Some of the ADA requirements aren't as strict if you're restoring to...
Right, but you can also ask the town for exceptions around ADAs, and they can grant those.
Great.
Yes.
So I guess what I'm trying to get at is my initial gut reaction to it sounds like a great idea. But what are we committing ourselves to? And who has the responsibility for what we're committing ourselves to? Is it like a separate entity? The board that's going to do that is going to, that's their baby and it's out of our realm? Or?
Well, I think that's got to be worked on and discussed, because that's certainly one of my concerns, is that if you have a solely organized 501c3 organization that has got the duty and responsibility of the chapel, but it's on the school grounds, it is the school electricity, it's the school water, it's the school sewer, it's our insurance, right? It's all our liability,
right.
quite frankly. So I'm not sure that has been worked out quite
yet. Well, I think the idea of the foundation is to help raise money to restore it.
Okay.
And then we've kind of backed off and let it become, and any renting would be a shared income. Mostly, we were thinking mostly would go to the school so that it does pay for its electricity and things like
right.
that. And then a portion of it going to the foundation just to help continue to maintain so that doesn't come out of the school's budget as far as roof or HVA, though that the foundation would continue to pay for that kind of stuff. Because in essence, the foundation, yes, we want to restore, but we also want to help provide events to be run out of that building, whether the kids are running it. I mean, ideally it would be that we want the kids, our student government or our Leo Club or whomever, and we'd be advisors to that, and we do community events and also rent it out as a building, but that our children can learn this process and learn how to be a part of your community and how to run a hall like this or learn bookings or things like that. So to us, it would always be the school. We are just separating from the school as far as fundraising for it and providing the, you know, the funds to restore it. Everything would answer to the school board in that sense. We wouldn't do anything without, you know, presenting and getting approval.
But all right.
We want the burden of the money to not fall on the school board, because that understanding is it'll either burn down, and mind you, it's stood 125 years while many buildings around it have burned down, and this church has managed to survive everything on this campus. You know, the fires, the different buildings, and when you go through the history and the pictures, you'd be amazed how many buildings were actually on this campus through the years, and this church has withstood it all.
Stood, yep.
And I think it deserves the right to continue to stand.
Yep, absolutely.
The question I was more getting at, though,
okay.
but if you do raise money as a separate entity, you're committing something to those people that are giving you that money
mm-hmm.
that I think we as a board would have to be very careful with, because what we're committing to may be beyond what we should commit to. And I don't know that for sure, but that's just my gut initial reaction. I don't know if I'm making sense. But, you know, for example, if you're going out there as a foundation, you're trying to raise money to restore this building, and, I don't know, somebody gives you $500,000 in 10 years, 5 years from now, the board decides, we don't want that church. I just any bizarre thing. I mean, what are we committing to on that money type side?
We're not committing to anything. We're just committing to asking if we can even do it.
Right.
Without a committee, we can't even find out
right.
whether it's a go or a no-go.
Right. That's basically
at this point, I think that is important what you're saying, right? We're going to have to decide, because she might go, oh my God, we have $2 million. We've come up with $200,000. That's the best we can do. Then we go.
Right. Like, I can't even move forward with
right.
historical societies and all without some kind of official approval that says, yes, form your official committee and go see what you can do. Doesn't mean I have to do anything. It just means what kind of commitments can I get and say, hey, yeah, I can raise this $4 million and I've got it and we can do this. Or no, I've got, you know, $4,000 and nothing's going to come of it. But I can't get solid commitments without
yep.
being official.
Yep, understood. All right, let me see if there's anybody else in the room. Any additional questions or thoughts here?
I know you've researched a lot. Have you gone to the Diocese of Wilmington or
mm-hmm.
Catholic Diocese?
Yep.
And they're aware of.
No.
And
no
interest.
Never like have fun with it.
Well, I think the most important piece is the DEI piece, the diversity part.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, it was for Black Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be you know, some interest there, maybe that we don't
yep.
know about.
I've talked to Mr. Cooperson about that. He's very well versed in all of this, but it's a lot. I mean, you think I just put this history together, all of that is a lot. Like, I haven't even tapped into that, because again, I'm kind of like, he keeps reminding me, got the cart before the horse.
Yep.
We can't do that because you don't have this. So I'm kind of
Understood. Anything else?
Just
yes.
One more thing.
And then I want to get to Zoom.
If we do the committee, if we decide to, we don't say it's a committee to restore it. We say it's a committee to look at
yes.
whether it's viable or something, so that there's another step.
Right.
Right.
The first step in creating that foundation.
See,
is
yep.
committee to
but not, we're going to restore it. Yeah, it's coming
yeah.
back. It's,
yeah.
all right, K can we even do this?
Right.
I mean, it's more of exploratory.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me go to Zoom. Anybody, is Katie there? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Any comments?
Architecture of choice, just because of his input and his level. This is what his company does.
Okay.
All right. And I think Dave's the only other one. I don't think we have any other board members on Zoom.
Chris Martin.
Oh, Chris is there? Oh, super. Sorry about that, Chris. You got any questions, boss? Is he there? Okay. All right, maybe he stepped away. With that said, all right, I think we have some consensus here. I think the answer is yes. I think it's called exploratory committee. I think there's probably three big things you got to get done.
Yep.
First is get a strong sense of really what the renovations are going to look like.
Right.
Cost related to the renovations, what they're going to be, sort of the timing of all that.
I know timing will be huge around funding, obviously.
Yeah, no question. Second is the structure piece, the organizational structure piece. While this is an exploratory committee, I think to Reggie's point, that what is the follow-on structure, the follow-on board structure, and its intersection with the school. We have to be very sensitive that if you have two sort of independent organizations that are on the same campus and kind of have control over a similar asset, conflict could come, and that wouldn't be very good. For example, if this board, the school board, is considering using the structure for only educational purposes, yet the foundation board or whatever board is there says, well, no, we got to use it. We got six weddings this weekend.
We
got all that kind of stuff going on. And so we want to make sure we got to talk about how you envision that structure.
I personally would think, first of all, it should be educational, always comes first. So it would be a matter of any kind of scheduling should be shared. There are a lot of things that I think would be shared and mutual. It's just,
yep.
So I think that would be easy to solve.
Third thing is really a robust list of outside organizations that during this exploratory committee's work have said thumbs up. But then you have to qualify. When they give you the thumbs up, what does that mean?
That's easy. I just didn't present that to you today.
Okay. So is that financial resources? Is that volunteer hours? Is that member for the board? Is it, what does that mean? Okay, cool. So I think we've got a path forward. I think you've got some approval.
I can answer most of those.
Okay, good.
That's not a problem, but I didn't want to, again, get too far ahead before.
Right.
And I do think, obviously, I want the board's input on things like what you expect out of the building, too. But again, until Mr. Cooperson, he couldn't come and inspect the building without your approval moving forward.
Yep.
So.
Cool. All right, so I think we've got a path forward. I don't know if we really need a board motion, but maybe.
I would think
think so. Then we just give her the
authority. Cool.
And give her the,
yep.
The
I'm tracking.
Quality of it.
Okay. All right. So, do I have a motion of some kind?
I'll make a motion that we authorize her to move forward with the exploratory committee and with the backing of the board.
Okay. I'm just making a note here.
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you. I've got a second. Any further discussion on the motion as presented? Anybody on Zoom? Okay. I've got a motion, a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Abstentions? Opposed? Got it. And let me make sure I got it. All right. And on Zoom, any opposed? Okay. Got it. All right. Go forth and prosper.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
You. Days present again and
yeah, we'll see you when you're ready.
Okay. And please enjoy everything I put together on that because
thank you.
Like,
I'm
reading,
excited
so.
To read it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Janet, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
your interest
thank you.
And
thank you.
Diligence. A lot more work to go, that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. Good. We're going to public comment. Don't see anybody. Public comment period is closed. Pat, I assume no one's okay. None of that. All right. Moving on to the regular agenda. Jim, to you and the treasurer's report.
So, email copies were sent out over a week ago, so everybody should have them. I'm dealing from the computer. So different copies, but perhaps it's got it. Beginning balance at the April 1 was $235,097.96 for the two accounts, and you see the report there. The activity for the month on the checking account, we moved $100,000 out of the savings account into the checking account because I was looking for the wrong account and it was just deposited. And I did not do any further research to say whether it was my mistake on the account number or it was Wismus's, but in any event, got moved over. There were checks stroked from 1083 to 1088 that were written at the end of March and into April. Doubling $27,727.66. And on the board account, you had $1.92 of interest. And as I said there, you had $100,000 out. And you had the two USDA loans go out on April 1st. So at the end of the month, the checking account had $81,960.08. And the savings account had $100,464.14. Down at the bottom of the front page, you'll notice on the right-hand side, I have the ending checkbook register and the WISFIS statement. A delta of 88.57. That's because those checks on the left-hand side were not cashed by the end of April, and they were cashed either by the 4th of April or the 18th, 5th, 18th, and the 20th or 21st. I did not look at that recently to confirm. You have the bank statements behind those pieces, including the no activity on these
WSFS account statements, right?
And then you have the two
escrow.
Two escrow accounts, and then you have the two statements showing those last the activity in the last 60 days, giving all transparency what's going on with the checks.
And did you get my check?
I got the check for $50,000 from the
support.
The foundation, yes.
Good.
That will get deposited when I get to the bank.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Do I have any questions, comments on treasurer's report? Seeing none, do I have a motion to accept?
Motion.
I got a motion to accept. Second.
Second.
Yep. A little slow over there on the right side. Let's go. Second. Any discussion on the motion? Right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yep. Any abstentions? Noes. Hearing none. Passed. Thank you. All right. Good. Moving on, finance report. Pat, to you. Which document are we looking at?
Narrative.
Got it.
Narrative financial report, month ending in April, where 83% through the fiscal year is 10 out of 12 months. Revenue has not changed. Everything is in. I reported that last couple months, so that's where we're at. So I'm not going to touch on that, if that's okay with everybody. Expenditures were $109,307. Of course, this does not include salary and OECs. Transportation, student athletic travel was the big hit at $60,000, $348,000. And then you can just see down there with some of the supplies, $1,432. Building grounds, $8,253. Utilities, $6,844. IT services, $3,928. Instructional and related services, $8,873. Just clothing and incidentals, food, $7,655, athletic supplies, $4,419, and of course advertising, that was for our bids to put in for our food and nutrition program for the next 3 years, $2,501. We had, we put down as the average of where we wanted to be expenditures is $156,000, so you can see we did come under that by $47,000. Just on the outlook, well, I'll go over that later, but just so our expenditures were down than we expected. But that is true usually this time of year. Federal grants, you know, I totaled them all up there. We have the total this year is $793,189. That includes fiscal year 21 federal grants and fiscal year 20. Now, within the fiscal year 21, we have the ESSER 1 for $82,155, ESSER 2 for $322,571, and of course, the Educational Relief Fund of $34,871. The total remaining is $199,531 out of all of that. So, we have been utilizing that money. If you look down below, ESSER 1 is all zeroed out. ESSER 2 has $65,592. Again, that rule will disappear on itself at the end of the fiscal year because we did attach that to salaries and substitutes, so that'll start coming into it. And education, we have $36 remaining. And of course, ESSER 3, the big one, $727,751. We have not been approved for that yet because I'm still working on the application. So I did make copies of that for anybody that wants to see it.
What is that? What this is up here?
That's correct.
Okay, do you guys, you got it? I think, did he give it? All right. So just to recap, right, this is the most recent federal money that came in January when the Biden administration came in and they passed that 1.9 number, I think it was 1.9 trillion. Here, Rich. Oh, sorry, you're looking for something else. With that said, as you guys remember, there were a number of things that we were talking about as related to recovery program for this summer, teachers, spending of money, HVAC system, which was clean air, security system, telecommunications, some fairly big nuts within this this spend, if you will. One of the things that Pat's working on right now is that, of course, the Fed say, here's the money that's allocated to you guys. The state says, fine, but of course, you've got to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and there are a series of questions. Pat was just talking to me a little bit about it earlier today, about having to fill out these questions and these comments, and that is what gets submitted to DOE. Then DOE has to go this, bless it, and then the check comes your way. So we're in good shape. It's just got to go through the process, and it's a fair amount of work for Pat and the staff to build the document to make the request. Is there, Pat, out of this sort of updated ESSER 3, is there anything different category-wise or categorically? Okay, I'll take that word. from the previous submittal that you talked about with us? Anything really different?
The only thing I've changed was the, of course, I include salaries on there. Based on our current enrollment, we'll be able to fund a social studies teacher on its own, which we've been waiting 2 years for that to take place. So I substituted that for a school counselor because we are way short in that area.
So the school counselor is ending up on this sheet, not on the staff, and the social studies will be on the operational budget?
Correct.
Okay.
Just because we've been really short, you know, you should have one school counselor for every 250 students.
Right.
We have one school counselor for 458. So, I mean, we're way behind a lot of areas with staffing, so just try to piece together. But that's the way it looks, and again, it's you know, answering the questions of Scott, it says some of them are dated. Some of them are asking us how we're going to educate people on hand washing, respiratory etiquette, social distance, physical distancing. I mean, stuff we've been doing way back since August. But
yep.
You got to remember, there's some schools that, well, heck, they haven't even been in.
Yeah.
Still not in, and they're working towards next year. So, and Dr. Bunning did say that in the email when she sent this out. She said, you know, reading over this, all of our schools, we have done most of this. Now we just need to explain it. The second thing we need to explain is we need to break down by race and gender, low income, students with disabilities, and how each of that group was affected by this closure, which I will tell you right now, it is going to take a lot of time to do it. So I had thought that I could get this in and approved, but I'm going to have to spend a lot of evenings and weekends getting it done. So that's just nature of the game. So,
any questions for Pat on that? Pat, would you go ahead and finish up the narrative and the outlook?
So with our outlook then, the outlook does not include ESSER 3, just so you know.
Right.
The outlook is $1,869,853. Now, as I told you, you know, we estimate we're going to spend $156,000 for the next 2 months. So very likely that an outlook will climb over $2 million. Unless something happens.
Unless something happens.
Keep in mind, that's with the $100,000 we already took out for the parking lot project. Or we'd be at 1.9.
Right.
69, so.
However, remember 75 days cash, some encumbrances, gets pulled out of this number, which is...
It's 1.2, but just remember, 75 day cash includes summer encumbrances. That's within that number.
The 1.2?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So they're not separate. So as long as we keep 1.2 in there, we will never have to worry about do we have money for summer encumbrances, because we always will.
Yep. So that gives you then a real sense of we're talking about what, 600 thereabouts plus or minus, which is still a outstanding financial position. We just got to continue to watch our P's and Q's and make sure we don't do something silly, as it were. All right. Any questions on that?
Pat, the ESSER 3 funds, is that over a 3-year period or a 1-year period?
Yes.
I thought it's two.
December 2024.
24, you're right.
So you're allocating the whole piece, and I certainly understand the comment relative to the social studies teacher, and it's there and it'll be covered by the credits that are out there. Adding the two stay, but if I look at all this here, this adds up to 727, but it's only got 1 year's worth of OECs and salary for those two spots, so there'd be a second and a third year and going into the run rates after that, right?
So the goal is, and a lot in reading the grant, they want us to put positions, they want us to do more towards the students, the underserved students with disabilities. and of course meet the social emotional health of our cadets. Yeah. Those two positions do that. But my goal is, you know, we're at a big unknown with enrollment. We, as you'll see in the report, we have 499 cadets in the system, which you say, damn, Pat, that's, you know, that's above 100%. Yes, it is. It's above 100%. But we're going to lose some of those. Some of those in there are actually going to graduate. They're just listed as juniors, but they're going to get enough credits to walk. That's about 15. Then there's another group that's going to withdraw. And so, and as I told Jan and them today, I want to keep going to where about 510. Because I estimate that that will end up being about 480. Then we will be able to afford those positions. Plus, as I'm going to explain later, there's a lot of reasoning here that we have to go into executive and talk about. Because with the positions that I'm proposing going forward.
All right, but your main point is that if we don't encumber the salary costs for those two positions in the ESSER 3 funding, we could be overspending. Is that what you're...
It could be covered by the additional enrollment, just like you mentioned, okay, the social studies teacher being the enrollment. So if the enrollment, not knowing the enrollment number and the unit count numbers, the
right
question was, is certainly makes sense with the first year. Do we have exposure in the second and third year for those spots, or whether there's a division that with whether it's, you know, 450 to 480, and get the 480 that gives us two more credits or whatever it is, and that
right
covers that. And
okay.
You know, yeah. I just remember the conversation 2 months ago where, you know, you right don't want to be stuck with ongoing expenses.
Correct.
Because the money falls off.
And Jim, that's a good point. My thought process is those will be a part of our regular operational budget. I'm just at an unknown what the enrollment's going to be, because
yep
what happens if we get these people? We do need them, but we just couldn't afford them in the past. What happens is we have these great numbers. Come September 30th next year, something happens, and we drop to our numbers we have now. Then we're going to have to use that grant. I don't see that's going to happen, but I like to be prepared for all contingencies. If we got to be prepared to grow, and we also get prepared if something, have a fallback option, because if anything this taught us, we just don't know what's going to happen. And as I know with other charter schools right now, there's three that I just got an email today that are going to be under review.
Ooh.
For next year, because they were below 80% on April and May 1st. We were above 100% on April and May 1st. So.
All right, good to know. Questions? Anything in the room? Zoom, questions? All right, cool. Oh, I'm sorry. Who?
I was just saying, I do not have.
Oh, you okay. All right, wonderful. All right, guys, that's what we've got. Let me do, let's do web report, which is the first page. Take a moment, please review. That's this document here. We'll do that, and then I'll do a quick CBOC update for you, and then we'll continue on. Do I have any questions on the web report? Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the web report?
Motion.
I got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I got a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none. Passed. Good. All right. Wonderful. All right. That's that. Let me talk about CBOC. We held it on 20 May. Generally speaking, much of what you guys saw here, I think a little more focus on some of the spend. Pat's really trying to work on watching our monthly spend. The average spend's about $156,000. We're going to be falling below that. I'll tell you, a lot of diligence on the staff to watch our spending. We don't have a lot of money on the street, per se, in the sense of owed to the school. The sweeps are all occurring. USDA is all in good shape. We'll be front-loading again come August of the money that USDA will take. Generally speaking, we're in good shape with our finances, and it really does depend on what sort of the budget looks like. I will tell you, once we start getting past, now I'm talking about enrollment, once we start getting past, you know, that 475, 480, we're going to once again be in a classroom crunch. And this is the open space left in town, is in the building in this spot we are at this moment. So it may we may be here before we know it. Just depends on how things really do shape up for this fall. Jim, do you want to add anything on CBSC?
No. As Patrick alluded to, and you said 156 is the run rate, and the last seven months have been below 150. So.
Yep. So we've been pretty good on the spend. All right. Any questions on CBOC? Just for your edification, we did pick up Scott Dobie, who had been with us for years. He was the GM for Clayton Atlantic Tractor here in Clayton. He got his parts manager to join us. Scott has picked up sort of a regional duty and responsibility with Atlantic Tractor and has got three or four stores. I didn't realize they're a big operation. They're in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and I think even in Virginia. At any rate, I'm hopeful that our next meeting will actually be in person so I can meet some of the folks. Craig is one of the others related to Reg. So we're kind of seem to be moving along fairly well there. All right, guys, that's it on finance. Moving on, Pat, back to you. Commandant's report.
Okay. Well, as I brought up early, we have the enrollment. That's always our driver. 277 families have applied. We have signed 132 cadets. And they're still incoming. I still have another 14 out there that I have to meet with at the end of the year. And so, you know, our May 1st count was 494. We're currently standing at 499, which is actually going to be 500 here. I just didn't get on the paper. We're 500. So that's good. And I just want to throw something out here. We need to think about this for the fall. So they're having that charter school choice charter barrier meeting going on. I'm on that committee. It's all about that grant. I forget the name of it. It's that federal grant about expanding schools. Well, one of the criteria is you have to grow more than 5%. So 475, which is our 100%, 5% is like, what, 496? So, you know, maybe we could start looking into that and look at doing a modification this fall, going for that grant, and asking for like $800,000 or $1 million to get that grant that's still sitting there and say that we are expanding. So I would like to pursue that this summer, do a modification, go back to, actually we're going to be going back to 500.
I was going to say we're going back because that's where we were.
Correct. We went down to 475 because it looked better in percentages because we were still building. Now it gives us the option to say, hey, we're expanding, because it's going to be over 5%. And then we qualify to apply for this grant and get it. So I think we should go for those two items. And so I'm going to pursue them. I'll bring that information to you probably in June or July. And we're going to go ahead and see the CSP grant. That's what it is.
All right. So one of the questions I got, Pat, on that is, if we are actually going to do a modification and we're moving our number to 500, right, and we're kind of there now, but we know, guys, we're going to have a drop-off of cadets of 20-some plus or minus of cadets between the 500 down. What happens if we don't necessarily have a drop-off? We got a lot of kids on campus, a lot of cadets. We seek the modification, we get the modification, we don't get the grant, or we get the grant, how's the timing going to work? Because we got all these kids that are going to be here. We got no room for them. And it's weeks, months before the grant gets and before we actually are able to execute if we're... Oh, and can the grant be used to build classrooms?
Yes. So, but the thing, that's what it's for. It's like a capital. So that's why I asked Reggie why you and Jim were talking. So this room, two walls down it, bust this wall out, put a door, single door. Now I have three classrooms. I already have one for the social studies teachers. Now I just got three more classrooms. So when you calculate, that's 75 kids.
You're going to put 25 kids between that window and the wall? This window and the wall?
Yes. Have you looked at the rooms we have now?
I seem to remember them being a little larger than that.
No, actually they're not.
Okay. All right. But that's not to be too, stupid about this, but that ain't $800,000 worth of work.
Well, no. We used that for something else that we need. Because we could do the classroom space, but we've always lacked is multi-room space. You know, and I'll just bring up Katie Stark on here because she's on here. She would like to use the gym for our drama class.
Okay.
As a stage.
Right.
Problem is, that's our only big space, and we have all these activities that are always using it every day after school.
Right.
We need more multi-purpose space in the school.
All right. Well, now we're back to the gym. And the new, what we call it, drill hall, or there were two buildings that were coming back into this side of the campus.
Drill hall. Yes.
Right. And we know what the gym was. That's, 4'8 to 5'2. It's probably add another mill because of the costs associated. And the drill hall was, don't quote me on this, but I thought open span, it was like 1.5 to 2.
That's because we went for the moon, and if we sit it in that area, it's like Dave always says, the site work is going to kill us because the sewer line runs right through there.
Well, yes, we've got a couple of things. We've got power line running right there, big transformer and all that stuff sitting out the back. Well, anyway.
For different space.
All right. I absolutely concur. Go ahead and pursue it.
To you guys before I do anything.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, we've got a whole bunch of kids on campus, and we don't have the space. And do we get into the whole trailer renting and all that sort of stuff?
So you don't want to lose this room?
Well, think about while this room is not used a lot, boy, oh boy, when we need it, we need it. We need it for wrestling. That's a constant pressure in the winter. Open houses, we've used it. We have used the cafeteria for that.
Yes.
I actually prefer this room than the cafeteria. We have used it for, testing. Well, you know what we've used it for. Just all sorts of stuff on the fly. This is the flex space.
Swagger for that. We used Swagger for testing the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just because we could sit 50 kids in there. All right. 50, 35.
Well, what you're talking about is flex space. We need flex space.
And this room isn't actually big enough for flex space. It's big enough to do certain things. But and we're not at an organization where we can afford to have this big space sitting empty.
Every day.
80%, 85% of the school.
I don't disagree.
We don't have that.
All right. Any discussion, further discussion on this matter? All right, go forth, come on back, let us know what's going on with that.
I will.
All right, cool. Okay. All right, next.
Do you want to go to executive at the end? I'll do this report.
Let's go executive at the end because we've got some hiring.
Colonel? Events and trips?
Roger. So we got our annual award tonight. Out front this year, very similar to an induction day or graduation. And I thought it was going well. Scott was in the audience that night and just had to say a few words. But went off well, and we did have to reduce some of the awards we presented from what we have done in the past, just because we opened that aperture in some of those JROTC awards to give cadets more recognition, and that grew tremendously. We would have been out there another 45 minutes, and we normally do, so we decided to cut it, and some of those less stellar leadership type awards, and we have since given those out in the formation. So but that was a nice night. We got lucky again with the weather.
Yeah, beautiful evening.
The cadets did a great job. Really getting them used to leading a lot of things on their own, and I don't think I had to say a word that night. So that's how it should be. The Raiders trip to Boston went really well. They took second place up there. They had a great time, safe. Cadets enjoyed it. Instructors enjoyed it. We'll see if it goes again next year. Not sure at this point. April was a condition based upon COVID. I think this school normally does something like this in October. So more to follow on next school year's.
How many schools were up there?
I think six.
All Marine schools?
They were. They were. They just, one reason we faltered a little bit was they had an event or two that we don't normally do with Raiders down here, so it's kind of the host school rules, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't do so well, and like they had some sort of medical trauma type event, and you know,
would stop the bleeding,
kids, it was different, and so the kids did well, they didn't do well enough, and so it was little things like that. Some of the scoring, it's always these competitions always come down to the judges. How well schooled they are, and how fair they judge, and every drill meets that way. They're all that way. So, Gunnery Sergeant Brenneman was a little disappointed, a little fired up about some of that stuff going on, but that's Gunnery Brenneman too. I mean, he's just passionate about his cadets. But they successful trip out there and back safely, and had a great time.
Super.
I did not attend the spring cleanup. Come on, did you want to talk?
You weren't here?
I was not.
We were.
Last time I ever get on the mulch detail. it went well. We were pretty much done by one. It was like just the mulch moving it. That was the biggest headache. But we got that done. And of course, we had paid ahead of time to do the front of the school. And the sign all in front of all the buildings, only because we had the awards night out there. I will recommend next year that we do the spring cleanup closer to April 1st. Because then we can have much Mother Nature water our flowers, because we don't have the people power to water all these plants. We just don't have it, and that's a struggle.
Okay.
The leadership dinner on the 14th, again, another success was that was led by the senior class. We gave that project a few months back, and they did a nice job of it. We held that at the Manuel Warren Senior Center due to the size of the cadets there and cost as well. We were able to cater out there. If we had held it at Clayton, they did not allow you to cater in, so you have to use their facilities, which is understandable, which we've done in the last few years. But it was nice. They did a nice job. And in 2 hours, we were over and done, and it was a pretty good event.
Cool.
We had our prom this past Friday. Prom has never been like a big turnout. We had a big turnout.
Really?
Yes, it was a very nice turnout. We had the tent out there with all the lights around it, tables with tablecloths, they ate outside.
The weather was good, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it was wonderful. The teachers did a wonderful job decorating. We had about 10 teachers involved decorating all the areas of the school on Friday afternoon.
Cool.
And the gym was all set up. And the mess hall was decorated. They had the pictures and food. It was just like finger food. They could walk out, and then we had drinks and coolers. It was a really nice night, and the campus looked wonderful. And, you know, and usually I was telling Colonel that usually the kids, by the end of the night, they start leaving. 20 minutes after the end, I went in and turned on the lights of the gym. Get out. No, I didn't say it like that. I'm like, I want to go home. And but the kids didn't want to leave.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, it was nice that we provided. They had that whole environment. Because if you look at some schools, they did theirs in the parking lots of their schools. So ours went well. And the kids enjoyed it. They had a lot of fun.
Good.
And it was good. It was good. All right. They did very well. Our junior seniors did very well. So.
Wonderful. Graduation.
All right. So, graduation. I have the plan up there if anybody wants it. I did email it. You should have got it last week, too. So, I know there were some questions you wanted to talk about it.
All right. So, one of the issues we want to sort of, the first couple of pages, guys, are just what's in their packets and all that sort of stuff, timing, right? So we do have seating for board members. Please let me or Pat know if you're coming. Obviously, I'm going to be here. And let me ask. What role am I playing? Because we talked about who was speaking and kind of...
We'll do the same as last year.
We'll do the same as last year. All right.
Right.
So the big question really gets to the number of kids, number of folks in the family, the form, parking, and that sort of stuff. And I actually had a family approach me about one of our families has a lot of kids in it. And... Mom approached me at church and said, well, what am I supposed to do with all the rest of them? I kind of was a little, not flippant, but I said, just stick them in the van, park, and you'll be fine. But I did say, make sure you talk to the commandant so we don't get ourselves messed up. Here's where we are. We got four folks. I think it's four per family. Those are the seats. However, if folks want to come, and they want to stand in the grass or sit in the grass without chairs, or they can bring their own chairs, I guess. But as long as they're not sitting in the pods with the four here, they can bring as many people as they want. That's, I think, the bottom line. We're maintaining the four per family at the seats. We're separating. We're kind of spreading it all out. But because we still had to submit a plan to DOE, we still had to get it approved. However, what we don't have is parking, but what we do have is space for people to stand. So that's kind of where we are. And I know there are going to be some families that are not as comfortable. They still think that we should remain, quite frankly, maybe with masks and that the 6 foot and all of these other components of what we've experienced over the last many months, and I suspect there are other families that had a burn party when the governor made his discussion about masks. So we're kind of running a bit of a line, but we did have a plan that was approved by DOE. Pat, I don't know if you want to throw in anything else.
No, just the whole idea with the pods, we can control that because we can say, okay, your family, you get four. They're separated from other people. If we were to allow people to bring as many as you want, we don't have the space. And if we're going to have chairs, well, we can't put the chairs side by side. That means we need to spread out individual chairs 3 feet all around, all across the property. Or the second thing to do is we would have to contact them and RSVP how many people would they have. Then we'd have to go out there, label the things. I'm like,
difficult.
We don't have the people power.
So in essence, we are limited to four members per family, but as you guys remember, families get to park. The graduates are going to park around the ring again. They're going to have their signs. We're doing the motorcade. We're live streaming as well. Thank you. And motorcade, but the parade,
I
guess.
We're going to do the recession afterwards. Yep. Clayton Fire Hall is going to lead it with the police. And they're going to lead it. Clayton Police is going to be here. And they're, you know, the same thing. We kept all those same components, which worked so well for us last year. We batted a few. Is there any questions? Because we have to talk about one thing before we go further.
Is there any cadets in J Jeopardy, or everybody's caught up on their work because of everything?
Oh, no, we have to get to Jeopardy right up to the very end.
Okay.
So I guess I must not have been here for last year's. I thought I was. I must have been the year before.
But now, last year, it was just Scott, I, and Bob.
Yeah. You were not here last year.
I plan to be here for this one.
Wonderful, thank you. All right, good. And anybody else who's going to be here, let me know.
I'll look at my calendar.
Yeah, just let me know. And we'll have your seats and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, that's where we are. I think it's a good plan. As I said, however, folks are standing out in the grass out there. They can stand there and all that sort of stuff. All right, Pat, you got one more thing you wanted to hit.
So, as happened yesterday, as I was walking by, I was over at Morrell, a new cadet meeting. I was walking the family around, and I saw one of our senior cadets turning in his uniforms. Didn't recognize him because I haven't seen him since March 13th of 2020. And he's been virtual all year. He has a full beard. He has longer hair. And so we're going to run into this issue because our seniors have not been attended. So I am going to enforce our grooming standards because they have to come pick up their stuff from me on June 1st or 2nd. My message to them is, if they're not, they don't have, I'm going to send this email to those families. If they don't have the proper grooming standards, they are not walking, they are not participating. The reason I bring it up to you, you can understand what a flashpoint this is. And that's, I just want to make sure that we talk about this and have our blessing going forward, because this is the kind of event that it can go all the way up to the top if someone wants to fight it that hard. It depends on what our judicial system does.
Well, I think you all kind of know where I would be. I think our standards are our standards. And despite the fact that they have not been with us for a year, and they were given many choices, and they can attend, and we had days set up, so on and so forth. Yes, I could see some parents or cadets being upset that they have to shave their beard and get rid of the ponytails. That's kind of where I am, but I certainly am looking around the room to see if there is somebody here that says we ought to allow them to show up with beards and ponytails. I don't see anybody here. Anybody on Zoom has a thought about that?
I think it's just Katie now.
Okay.
I think that if they, for the last 4 years, have been able to comply with the demands of the school, then they should be able to do it on the very last day that they graduate. I think they would actually like... So, I don't know. I think they would take pride looking like they have been for the last 4 years.
As long as
you're making the announcement soon so that they have enough time to know that
like,
these are the standards. I don't really see pushback.
Okay.
But maybe I'm being optimistic.
Well, it does say in the graduation things. They must be in, you know, males must have shaved and hair is in accordance with our standards of no earrings and anything like that. So it's in there.
All right. I certainly, Pat, if there is any pushback and somebody needs to talk to me, I certainly don't mind chatting with them. But I think we've got a pretty good sense of what's required. All right. Very well. Anything else? We talked about graduation. Colonel, you want to hit real quick the Gettysburg trip and the SOC and bringing our cadets in August and all that good stuff?
Sure. So SOC part one begins in June 15th and 16th. We're going to for 2 days. And this was a staff and cadet recommendation several months back. So we're bringing them in for 2 days, and we decided, you know, why not try to do something fun rather than just work a camp, which is what we've kind of done in the past, work them hard and set them home. We organized this Gettysburg trip to Gettysburg. The Marine Corps is paying a good portion of the bill regarding the building and buses. and we're getting great support. On the other end, from the Gettysburg Heritage Foundation, they're probably paying about 75% for our meals.
Wow. And
ticket entry fees to the museum and other things. It's just a great, they just serve us really well. We're going to take 50 cadets up there. We're limited to 50 because we only put on, we're going to take two charter buses, and they're limited to 25 per bus right now. So we'll take 50 cadets and some staff members.
That's good.
Tomlot and a few others are going to go up there as well. We have tour guides that are very well schooled. That's what they do. Now, up there waiting for us, it'll be a great trip. So, looking forward to that. It'll be on that Thursday and Friday. We'll be back late Friday afternoon, early Friday evening. So, that's a plan for SLC. And
when is new cadet orientation? That's August, right? 10 through 13 August.
We do part two of the plan. So, basically, what we're trying to do now, just to put it simply, we're trying to complete the plan now. But by the 16th, the entire plan for summer orientation camp, which is all called new cadets, should be complete to include a training schedule. In August, we're going to rehearse that training schedule. Go through the big events, check-in, uniform issue, all those things, actually rehearse them, refine the plan, basically. And then the cadets show up, new cadets show up for 4 days. I'm planning for 60 cadets on the cadet cadre. We're probably going to need to increase that next year because, you know, the first time we did this, we had about 35. Then it went to high 40s. And now, so this year, it went to 60, and we're turning cadets away at 60s. A lot of interest in being a part of that. So I'm basically going to invite them. But the challenge I have with that is it's a child cost. The Marine Corps is paying for the food and two meals a day. And if I go much above 60, now I've got to look at, you know, the school helping to supplement the child hall cost.
Understood. Okay, cool. All right, Pat, back to you, and then we're getting ready to go to executive on some of that. Anything else you want to hit on
Reggie?
Commandant's report?
Yeah, Reggie.
Oh, yeah, Reg, you want to talk about the paper art?
Oh, I didn't know. It's out. We got the emblem in today. I actually went up to Jersey and picked it up today. They called me a couple days ago and said it was ready. And we knew they were going to, Rick Doctor was going to have crew here. They were going to work on the back, but I put them on the front to get that, wanted to get that done before graduation. So it's in. Got to tweak it a little bit in the morning, and then it'll be locked in place. And you can go out there and see it. You can walk on it, but.
Wait a minute. You told us not to walk on it. Okay, so you all can walk on it, but she and I can't.
Stay off it tomorrow? Yeah, first thing tomorrow, yes. Okay. Just because it's not locked in yet with the sand, and those little letters, they're just too easy to break. Okay. But once the sand locks them, then they'll be fine. But yeah, it's pretty much done. It looks good.
It's great.
It does look good. Great. You guys ought to take a look at it after our board meeting. It'll still be light, I hope. I'm kidding. It will.
And I think they got the next... between the next building wing, they got the basin, the laying papers there tomorrow.
Super.
And then I think there's only one more wing left, right? And that's right. Just the long walkway up the back and out this building that will be done. So.
Oh, that's great. Reggie, thank you. Great stuff. Great stuff.
They're doing it. I'm just kind of watching them.
It's been long, and it's getting there. Wonderful stuff.
It's almost there.
All right, Pat, academics and athletics, all that kind of stuff, and then we'll go to executive.
Just the schedule I got you approved last time, we end on the 4th. We're going to get our summer recovery program going on in 9th and 10th. Teachers 7th and 8th are going to be grading everything on the 7th, wrapping up grades. 8th, pool school is going to be contacting parents. Just have those cadets show up in person. Go over the orientation for the summer, meet the teachers that are doing it, and then go from there.
All right, cool. All right, any other questions on this? We do need to go into executive session for a couple of personnel matters. So if I can, do I have a motion to go into executive session?
motion.
I got a motion. I got a second. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Any noes? Seeing none, passed. We are now in executive session.